Praise the Lord. Would you please welcome to the platform Gloria Copeland.
Yay! Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Yes, He is. He's good. Thank you all. Father, we love You today and we praise You. We are so grateful for Your goodness and Your kindness to us every day of every year. You're awesome and wonderful, and we thank You for it. Thank You, Father, for all the people that are here, and they've come to hear the Word, and I pray for each one of you that are here, that this would be a great and a wonderful time away from everything except the Word of God. And God's Word would come forth from every speaker to move in your life in Jesus' name. Father, grant us utterance. Grant deliverance. Grant healing. Grant peace. Grant excitement of the things that You have done for us and are doing. Give us revelation this week, Lord. Reveal Yourself in a mighty and awesome way. Give me utterance today and give us hearing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord, you may be seated. The Lord is so wonderful to us. We're going to talk some more about faith. Glory to God. Faith. I want to center up on, we didn't get very far yesterday. We were still on Mark 11, I think, but let's look back there. You know, this is where, if you know about faith, you know, some people don't even know. You take the Bible and that's God speaking to you and you can believe it. They don't know. They don't realize that God's speaking to them today through the Word of God. But we all do that and we know that. We know this is God's Word. We know it's true. We can depend on it. And when we're standing for something, and the Bible just says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. So we know that there's some doing to standing. You know, it'd be great. I'd love it if you could just turn to Mark 11, 23 and 24 and pray, ask, believe You, receive it, and instantly it'd be there. It's just not that way. Why would it not be that way? Well, there's other people normally involved when you're believing for something. And then you're involved when you're believing for something. And it's your faith and your believing and your receiving. And then, you know, there's just lots and lots of things that we don't know yet. And so we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And the scripture says, having done all to stand, stand. That means whatever it takes, however long it is, whatever the situation, if you're praying for somebody's salvation, if you're praying for a job, whatever it is, you just have to stand until it's manifest. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't especially like it myself. I'd like to have miracles, instant things. That's what miracles are. Now, miracles come along and it's all over. You know, you believe God for your healing and you get a miracle and instantly the conditions change and instantly you're healed. But then other times you have to stand on the Word of God. We like it instant, but we don't always get it that way. And I'm sure that's not God's failure, but ours. But at any rate. So we have to stand, we have to keep saying what we started out saying on the Word of God. When you pray for something, stand on Scripture. When you pray for healing, get healing Scriptures and stand on those. Then, if the healing is not instant, you keep standing, you keep saying, you keep going over those Scriptures. You stay with those Scriptures until it's done. Money is that way. Prosperity is that way. You cannot answer your own prosperity prayer. You're dependent on God. You're dependent on usually something happening out here in the natural realm. Brother Hagin used to talk about an old dog bringing a sack of money up in his mouth. Now that could happen, but that old dog never has found my house. And so until he gets a grip on where Newark, Texas is and I live, well, I'm going to have to stand until conditions, situations, things change. Until that money comes. Amen. So we talked yesterday, that's about where we quit yesterday. We talked about letting patience have her perfect work. So patience is a force. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's in our reborn spirit. And we have the power to stand and not succumb to unbelief or trial or what we see with these eyes. We have that. We have the force of patience. And so we just learn how to take the Word of God and stand on it. Yesterday we were to Mark 11, and you know, that's really the crux of the matter right there. Usually when we would get in trouble, and we'd come to one of Brother Hagin's meetings, you know, and sit in there, and what would he do? Every time he'd talk about Mark, he'd talk about faith. He'd talk about saying. He'd talk about believing you receive when you pray and standing and saying. And you know what? The part of it that we were missing usually was not really the believing part, because we believe the Word of God. But it's the saying part. When things don't happen, you want to say so. You want to say, we didn't get it. We don't have it. I'm not healed. I had a pain. I'm not healed. And then start all over again. No, we've got to say what we believe. We have to say words, even in hard, tough places. Say what the Bible says about it. Don't let the devil get our words. And usually that's where we'd be missing it, was in our saying. Couldn't pay the bills, you know, and you'd start saying, what are we going to do? How are we ever going to manage? Where are we going to get the money? How, you know, it's not working. Money's not here. This or that or the other. And you just have to come to grips with it. If you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to stay walking by faith and not be moved by anything. Like if you're believing to get out of debt, well, normally you don't have somebody deliver you $50,000 or $60,000 in the next morning's mail. I mean, normally. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. It never happened to me. But most of the time, it takes time for circumstances to get in line. And that's when we stay with faith. We don't quit. Amen? And I want to welcome everybody out there on the internet. We're so glad you're here. I'm so thankful that this convention can go all over the world. Think about it. People are watching us in the middle of the night somewhere, right here. We're in the AM. We're in the morning here, Long Beach, and people around the world are staying up to watch it. Think about it. Isn't that a miracle? There was no internet when Ken and I started learning by faith. You had to get yourself to a meeting. There weren't faith broadcasts either to any degree. You had to get in a meeting if you were going to get it. Now we can get in meetings, and we can have it every day at home, by DVD, by television. Isn't it amazing what God has given us to work with? So we have a lot. We have a lot to answer for, church, and we can't be lazy about these things. We got to take hold, get a grip, go for it. Now I'm going to pray, and let's agree for utterance. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up every person listening to my voice on the internet or here in this place, or that will listen by tape or DVD or any way, however they hear this message. I pray for every person and for myself to receive the Word of God. Give us insight, correction, teaching, utterance today, Lord, to speak the oracles of God. We open up our hearts to hear from heaven and to be changed and to let the Word of God talk to us, and we'll obey it in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving us correction, teaching. Thank you for filling our mouths and our minds with the Word of God today. And all this week, Lord, we've set this week aside to hear from heaven. We love your Word. We honor your Word. We cherish your Word. And we believe we receive your word revealed to us this week in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So let's look again at Mark 11 and start off there. I may sometime during this thing, I tried to do it in the meeting we had in somewhere, some other country I was in recently. I don't know if it was Australia, where it was. Anyway, I was going to read the margins of my Bible in Mark 11. If you can see there, well, I've got a wide margin Bible, but there is no space left in Mark 11. It is full. It is full of good things. It's little bitty writing, you know. So maybe we'll get around to reading the margin one day. We're going to start with verse 11. Well, let's see. Let's start with chapter 11 in verse 22. Jesus said unto them, you know, they'd had the fig tree experience. They'd passed by the fig tree. One day Jesus said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. And the next day when they came by, that fig tree was shriveled up, dried up. Have faith in God, Jesus said. And they were questioning that. They said, Master, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. How did he curse it? He said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. How do you cure doubt in your heart? By the word of God being in there. And uprooting doubt, kicking doubt out, and now we believe the word of God. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So we're not just we have to account that our words have power. Not just when we're praying, not just when we, are actively believing and confessing something that we want to come to pass. But Jesus said that we believe those things. In other words, we've got to know that our words have power to change and things, and that we're to be consistent in it. You know, if you just talk faith when you're in trouble, you're not going to have strong faith. Trouble's going to come. You're going to be pressed. Things are going to happen. You know, you're going to need your faith. But if you've got faith, if you got the word going in your eyes, in your ears, getting down in your heart, and you believe it, and you let it change you. I don't know. I've never tried to live it this way, but I don't think you can do a good job of it, living it this way, that you just want to get spiritual when you need something. I mean, if you're going to have faith in the word of God, then you're going to have faith all the time. Not just for when trouble comes. You know, another thing that I hope to get into today is obedience. Faith is not just saying, not just believing. But if you have faith and you're believing God, then if you want to get in the receiving position, you let your life be changed to obey God. Whatever he says, that's what we do. If you're reading the Word of God and you're just reading it because you're supposed to read it, but you don't let it talk to you, you don't let it correct you, you don't let it change you. Every day when you read the Word, you should read it and change anything that you see contrary to how you're speaking or how you're believing or how you're acting. Now that puts you in a place to receive. We're children of the Most High God. He's our Father. He cares about us. He wants to bless us. The blessing is in, the full blessing that you and I can live in, is in letting that Word dictate to us how we live, what we say, what we don't say, what we do, what we don't do. We find out something's displeasing to the Lord. Let's just take strife. The Bible says where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. So strife is evil. Strife is being in disharmony with other people. And then the scripture talks about love. We know faith works by love. And so we can see why how strife that brings confusion and it's considered evil in the scripture, we can see how that would stop our faith from working. Now, I bet most of you are married. And I'm telling you, if you can live in peace at home, you can live in peace other places. You know, opposites attract, and then they get married. And it works out great if you'll stay with the program. But there's a little pressure for a while, and really throughout. You know, Ken and I have gotten to be an awful lot alike after all these years. I mean, we pretty much are alike. But when we married, we were extremely different. And so the Word of God got involved in our lives, and we both began to center in on the Word, to walk in love, to speak right, to speak love words, to walk by faith. So the Word of God brought us into great agreement. That's a good term, isn't it? Great agreement. And that's the way and really, Ken and I, we're living in days of heaven on the earth. We're having a great time. We enjoy one another's company. We're satisfied. We're happy. Things are well. We're blessed. We feel good. Glory to God. As Ken said the other day, we're not on any prescription drugs to do anything to our bodies or our minds. We're on the Word of God. And that'll fix your body, it'll fix your mind, it'll fix your marriage. It'll cause you to have what? Days of heaven on the earth. And that's what God wants for all of us. So Mark 11 says, have faith in God. And then it says, whosoever shall say to the mountain. So we know that this is good for anybody. Whosoever. That's you. That's me. We say to the mountain. We talk to the problem. We say, debt, you're getting out of my life. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command you to be paid. Or strife, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You get out of my house. Get out of my family. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we yield to the good things like love, joy, peace. I receive, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit manifest today. I receive love and joy and peace. Goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I act on those things today. I receive that, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you can't have a bad day walking in love and joy and peace and goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness. You can't self-control. You can't have a bad day that way. And that's what we are on the inside. So we have to get our minds renewed, to walk with faith, to walk in the Word, to make changes. You know, the reason you read the Word is not to say, I read the Word every day this week, or every day this month, or every day this year. The reason we read the Word is to let it talk to us and tell us how to act, tell us what to say and what to think and what to do. Glory to God. It talks to us. If you're just reading the Word and you're just taking your chapters and you're not paying any attention or making changes when you see something in there that you're doing different than, then you're missing the blessing and the power of the Word of God. So the more we let the Word correct us and teach us, and the more we stay with that throughout our lives, the stronger we get. The stronger our faith gets, the more blessed our circumstances are. Now, when we started out, we had our circumstances. Everything was bad, except that we had each other. But all the circumstances, you know, primarily money and those things, that was bad. But then we started off on the Word. We stayed with it. We continue to stay with it. We became tithers. We became sowers. We became sayers. We say what we want to come to pass. Hallelujah. We say it based on the Word of God. And we don't say anything different. If we say something different, what do? We repent. You know, you can succumb to that. And you can get say something in unbelief. What do? You say, Lord, that's not true. I rebuke that bad confession. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. That's not what I believe. I believe this. I believe by His stripes I was healed. I am not the sick. I am the healed. So you straighten your words out when you say wrong words that you don't want to come to pass. Faith. Now I want you to look at this fact. It says, faith believes it receives. He shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, what things, just general things, soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, if you look that word up, it means to take. And that's what I want to call this today. I want to call this faith. Takes it. Faith takes it. That's what it means. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Now, when you see receive in a lot of different places in the Word of God, it means you take it. So you can see already that to us, you receive it is like you receive a birthday present. You don't take, somebody offers you a birthday present and then you take it. But you don't just go take birthday presents. It's offered to you. Now here, that's exactly what we have to do with everything good and wonderful that's written in the Word of God, like prosperity and healing. We see it written in the Word of God and then we take it. And you know, the scripture talks about taking it by force. The force will take it by force. We take it. I mean, you can't be a weak sister if you're going to walk by faith. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And you're going to have to take the Word of God. Well, you know, we have an enemy. His name's Satan. He doesn't want us to take things from Him. He wants control. It's all about control. He wants control. But when we, for instance, over our money, if Satan can keep the church in poverty, he can do some good for him. He can do some bad, I should say. It's good for him, bad for everybody else. If he can keep the church, let's just say your church, where you go to church, if people don't give and they don't sow and they don't tithe, there's not going to be money to build that new building. So he tries to take what belongs to us so that he doesn't have to deal with us in that area. But we take what belongs to us away from him and his kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. We take it. Say, faith takes it.
Faith takes it.
If it's healing, you go to the healing scriptures. And you take your healing. How does faith take it? It takes it in its eyes. It puts it in its ears. It gets it in its heart. And it pushes it out its mouth. That's the way you take it. You can't take by faith and have an unbelieving mouth. And then we know the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know how to change our mouth. Now, it doesn't come without effort. It takes time. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we put our eyes and our ears on the Word of God. You pay attention to the Word of God. And that through your eyes, through your ears, like you're doing this week, it gets down into your heart. And then it talks to you. Glory to God. Faith. Takes. Say, faith takes.
Faith takes.
Faith doesn't just talk about it. Faith doesn't just think about it. It takes it. If you need a new car, you need to just not be so namby-pamby about it. You need to get on the Word of God. You need to get you scriptures, and you need to say faith over that car.
Come on.
I receive it. Say, I. You go around and you say, I believe I receive a new car paid for. If you got an old car and you want a new car and you're going to believe for a new car, you might as well believe for one paid for, hadn't you? Because if faith's got to go to work, You might as well put it to work. And who decides that? We do. We take that car. We can take payments on it, or we can take it by faith and cash paid for. Thank you, Lord. I received my new car. And if you've got a car picked out, then you know, you find out how much money that it takes to buy that car, and you believe for it. If a year goes by and you don't have it, you don't quit. What if it took you a little while to get a new car? At least you'd have a new car when that little while went by. We don't plan for it to take any time, but we just go into it saying, I'm here for the duration. I'm receiving a new car today, and I'm receiving it paid for, and I'll never come off of this agreement and this prayer in Jesus' name. Then every day, every time you think about it, you think, Lord, thank you for my new car. This is the way I got a new house. Thank you for my new house. Thank you for my new car. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I thank you that it's paid for, and I'm driving it. And you see yourself driving it. You see yourself with that house. I'm telling you, I got busy on that house. I worked on that house for about 10 years or more, 20 maybe. Ever since that's just what I wanted was a home. That's what was important to me. Ken, he likes wings and airplanes, and he could live in a hangar probably, but not me. I like a home. So I believe for a good while before I had the home, you get in a home. You get in a better home. You get in a better home. You sometimes work your way up like that. But before I got the one I want to spend the rest of my life in, it took me a little while. Was it worth it? Yeah, it was. I could still be where I used to live if I hadn't gone after something in faith. So faith is aggressive. If it's not aggressive faith, you're not going to go anywhere. You got to stay with it. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. He's come to kill and steal and destroy. And what is he most of all? He's a liar. And he'll tell you, you're not going to get that new car. You're not going to have a house. You're crazy. You could never pay cash for a house. He'll lie to you, talk you out of it. First thing you know, if you don't keep your eyes and your ears in this Word of God, first thing you know, you'll begin to get discouraged. So every day you need to feed your faith. Now, when I wish I'd have thought about it, I'd have brought it this week. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do here. But when we started out believing for prosperity and believing for a home, we needed money. The children were still little, and we had a decent car, and we had a nice little house that we lived in. It was new. It was just a simple little house, but it was new and it was clean, so on. But we didn't have any money. You know, we needed things. We needed to increase and improve. So I had a list of prosperity scriptures, and this was way, way, way back there. Our kids who are now in their 40s, it was a long time ago, and they were just little kids. John was just a little guy. I mean, I still remember the den of that house. And it was like, here was the little kitchen, here was the den, here's the little fireplace, and there was a love seat on each side of that fireplace. Now, John, he was a little jerk sometimes. Today's his birthday, but maybe he's not watching. And he could just worry, wart the hair off the back of your head. And one day, I remember this, I think Kelly probably remembers it too. I know John remembers it. And you know, I'm pretty quiet and I'm pretty stable, and it's hard to get me roused up. But you can do it if you really work at it. And so that day, I was in this little kitchen area. John was on the other side of these two love seats on the other side of the fireplace. And I don't know what he did, but what he did, it was the last nerve. And you can ask Kelly if this is true or not. I jumped from the kitchen. I jumped over the love seat. And I went after that boy. He didn't know what to think. I'd like to see a rerun of that myself. I don't know how I did it. But that's the ages that the kids were when we got that first little house. And we didn't own the house. We leased the house. But it was a good place to live, and we enjoyed it. And the kids started to grade school. Kelly started to grade school there. It was good. You know, God will improve you all the time. And if you'll stay with the program, you'll get where you really want to be. You'll get to that place or that thing, that car, that house, that place, that healing, that health. You'll get there. And right there in that place, when our kids were little, I made my first scripture list on prosperity. And I just went, I've still got them there. I had made a list, and then I'd fold it over and fold it over. So there's like three or four sides to this of scriptures. And every day, I'd go over those scriptures. Now, that's just a good thing to do if you're trying to lay hold of something. Because every day, I put my eyes on those scriptures, and faith, and I got it in my eyes, in my ears. It continued to come down in my heart, and it kept my faith going. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. It's good to read out loud to yourself those things. So when you're in a faith situation, I want you to get this out of this message today. Faith takes it. Faith, say faith,
faith.
Takes it.
Faith.
I take it.
With my faith.
Glory to God. Now remember that. You can't depend on somebody else's faith. You can't go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I need a house, I need a car, I need this or that or the other. And I want you to take care of it for me. Well, pastor's taking care of pastor's business. He wants a house and a car and whatever else he needs and maybe healing. No, you take care of your own situation. You don't depend on other people's faith. Other people may be busy. They might be out of town. They might be this or they might be that. You develop your own faith. How did we develop faith? Well, we took the word. We learned to take the word literally. I started off with an Amplified Bible at about the time we started faith, and I just devoured that Bible. And I learned to take it literally. Whatever it said, I took it. See, I'm taking the word, and when I take the word, it brings faith. That takes other things, whatever else you need. You take the word brings faith, and faith takes it, whatever it is. And so that way, it's a level playing field. Anybody can have faith. It's not just a calling here and a calling there. People are called to do certain things. But I'm talking about just plain old living by faith day in and day out. It's for whosoever will. Jesus is for whosoever will. Anybody that makes Jesus the Lord of their lives can be born again into the kingdom of God and have Jesus as his Lord. Anyone can be filled with the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit, if they'll ask and receive. See, it's a level playing field. This is for anybody. It doesn't matter what your background is, where you came from, how smart you are. I know a church where a pastor taught on finances and he was faithful. He knew the message of faith, and he taught faith, and he taught on finances. Actually, this was Bill Winston's church, so maybe he'll give us this story. He can tell it much better than I can. But there was a guy there that, you know, he didn't have any education. He didn't have, I don't think he could read. And he didn't have anything going for him. Until he heard the Word of God. And then he heard the Word of God, and he began to exercise his faith. I'll ask Bill if I think of it to be sure and tell us that story. It was great. And he could mow yards. As I recall, he went into lawn maintenance. And he got this customer and that customer and that customer and that customer. Pretty soon he's making a lot of money. Well, how come? What turned him loose to go do something like that? To think that he could do well and he could be he could, because he didn't have any education, that he could be successful. The Word of God. He was taught faith. Faith believes it receives when it prays, and faith says, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. Faith does what? Say, faith takes it. Now, if you'll get that in your head when you start believing for something and let it get down in your heart that I have to take this thing if I'm going to get it supernaturally. Faith takes it. Don't you see it? You can do it. Faith takes it. Faith takes it. Heart and mouth. It takes heart and mouth. It says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever... Is that a great word or what? Not those called to preach. Not those who are highly educated. Not the rich. Not the beautiful. Not the handsome. But the ugly. Anybody. Whosoever. The poor. Whosoever. Who? Say whosoever.
Whosoever.
Say that's me.
That's me.
I'm a whosoever.
Whosoever
shall say to the mountain. Say this. I can say to the mountain.
I can say it.
I can say to the mountain. I can tell that mountain what to do. I can tell that car what to do. I can tell that bank account what to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a whosoever. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. I'm telling you, whosoever shall say. Say, I can say.
I can say
to the mountain.
I can say to the car.
I can say to the house.
I'm a whosoever.
And I can say. And I can doubt not.
I have faith.
I believe the Word of God. I don't doubt God's ability to do anything. So I'm a whosoever.
I can say it.
I can take it.
I can move the mountain.
I can receive anything.
That's the will of God.
And everything good
is the will of God for me.
Now, this is a marvelous opportunity for you this week to get so full of the Word of God that you leave here different. We ought to all leave here different. We ought to all leave here stirred up, taught more than we knew when we came, and have the ability to take it by faith. Glory to God. See, that's an action verb, you know? You got to take. You got to take by faith what God has promised you, and we can do it. And I guarantee you, you can do it, because Ken and I have already done it. We had nothing. We just had debt and nothing. You know, an old bum car. When Ken went in the ministry, we had an old car. It was, he'd drive it, and it got him there, but, you know, it wasn't his choice. But I'll tell you what we did. We took a new car. We took a new car. And we paid cash for it. It took a little while. It took a little while, but we took a car. And we did the same thing with everything that we've ever needed since we've learned faith. So faith is for whosoever. It's faith in God. He tells us what to do. We say to the mountain, we refuse to doubt. We act on the Word of God. If the Word says we can do it, we can have it, we can be it. Then we can do it, we can be it, and we can have it. Amen? And we believe that those things, the words, what the Lord said to me as we were in that first little house and I was listening to my first Kenneth Hagin tapes on faith. Ken was enrolled at ORU and I was in my little bedroom and I was taking notes on Brother Hagin's tapes. Actually, I was kind of writing almost the whole tape down. And while I was reading, studying this on from him, he was teaching on Mark 11. I got it. I got these words. Oh, inconsistency lies the power.
Wow.
I said, I see it. It's not just what I say when I'm in church. It's not just what I say when I'm reading the Bible. But it's what I say all the time that comes to pass in my life. I saw. I got exactly those words. Inconsistency lies the power. What you say all the time is what you have in your life. Now, you and I, we're born again. We're filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit or born again, you need to be, because you won't have power unless you do. But we can choose what we do, what we say, what we believe. Glory to God. What we put in our eyes and our ears that gets down into our heart. Inconsistency lies the power. What I say all the time is what I get. It's not what I say once. It's not what I say for a while and quit. If I'll keep saying it, it'll come to pass. It will come to pass in my life. Now, I've found that to be true over everything and anything, including the salvation of your children, believing God that your son is going to shape up and do what's right. You know, John was a challenge to me. That little fellow, I not only jumped over the couch after him, but I wanted to beat his head in a few times, but I didn't. But he was just all boy, and he was a challenge. And, of course, we prayed, and we believed God. And you know, he turned out to be the finest man. He's a wonderful father. Ken called him today. It's his birthday. Ken said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm out with John. We're playing golf. That's his little 5 or 6 year old boy. And he had him out playing golf. He's a great father. And he's a fine man. We took it. You can take your children. You can take your children. You keep the power of the devil broken over that child. If they're out in the world doing things, you keep the power of the devil broken over them, and you believe God for their salvation and deliverance. And you believe God they'll live long enough for them to get turned around. I mean, John, that was a situation with John. He had wrecks. He turned things over. He drove fast. He called. We were down at the convention center when he was just a kid, and Ken and I were already at the hotel. We were staying downtown for the meeting. He called one morning. I think it was a Sunday morning. Mama, yeah? How you doing, John? He said, somebody bit my ear off. He said, I was in a fight last night, and somebody bit my ear off. Oh, gosh, I had a picture of a hole in his head, you know. What used to be an ear is now a hole. And he didn't explain himself. He is not a man of many words. And so, of course, we prayed for him. We believed God for him. Well, when I saw him, somebody had bit a piece of his ear off, but not his whole ear. But we had to believe God for that boy. And your boy, I mean, you know, God knows how to handle boys. Ken's mother believed for him. And look how fine he turned out. Glory to God. So whatever it is, faith will do it. If we believe, we receive it, and we, which is to take it, and then we say it, and we take it, and we say it, and we say it by taking it, and we take it by saying it, and we don't say anything else. And if you say something else, you repent over it. So receive. To receive it is to take it. I remember Brother Hagin's message on confession brings possession. When we began to hear Brother Hagin, we found out about our words. And so we began to change what we say. And that scripture, confession, or that tape in those days, confession brings possession. Say it. Don't say anything different. Have your scripture you stand on. Read that scripture and take it. Say it. Take it. Take it with your words. And don't say anything different. If you do say something different, you repent. You get right back up on the Word of God. So the kingdom is preached. Faith comes. And the forceful take it by force. Let's see where that scripture is. I think I have the wrong scripture reference down here. But at any rate, it says, the forceful take it by force. You're not going to be a wimp and get faith results. You're going to have to be strong in your words, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your heart, first of all. Get strong in your heart by the word of God. Believe you receive when you pray. Don't let the devil take it from you. He'll try to take it from you. Don't let him take it. No, you keep hold of it. He'll say, well, you're not going to get that car. It's been a year now and you don't have a car. Gloria Copeland's crazy. I didn't say this. Jesus said this, and we know he's not crazy. And I'm here to testify that it works. Don't let the devil take it from you. I want you to get on this take now. You take it. You keep it. You say it. You believe it. You stand on it. And you don't let him take it away from you with unbelief or fear or doubt or people. Somebody comes and tells you, you know, you're not going to get it. You're a loser. You're a failure. You're this. You're that. Don't take what they say. Take what God's word says. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're not a loser. You're born of God. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. How do you get to where you understand who you are? By time in the Word of God. Glory to God. So whatever it is we need, we take it. Faith says, I take it, I have it. Brother Hagin said, confession brings possession. You just keep saying it. I just said that about a house for a number of years, But I had, we've been in that house probably 10 years now. Was it worth it? Absolutely it was worth it. It was worth it. That's where we're going to stay the rest of our lives. We're happy there. It's great. It's wonderful. It's awesome. Just what we want. Was it worth it? It was worth it. It was worth it. What if I hadn't have been saying anything? What if I had have been saying, well, I'm never going to get a house? What if I had have been saying it's impossible to pay cash for a house? Or it's impossible to pay cash for that house? Oh, no. I didn't say that. I said I have it. I believed I received it. And I got it. And I live in it. And I've been in it 10 years probably, or maybe more now. And it's peaceful and it's blessed and it's awesome. It's good. Why do I have it? Because I'm special? I have it because I believed I received it when I prayed. And then I said it, and I said it, and I contended for it. You got to contend for what you're believing for. Because Satan will try to talk you out of it. He's a thief and a robber. That's why he's called a thief. He'll try to steal your dream. Steal it. Take it. How does he steal from us? He talks us into unbelief and doubt. And we do ourselves in. So whatever it is in your life, if it's your healing, you get on the Word of God, you get the healing scriptures. If it's your family, you get family scriptures, you get faith scriptures, and you stay on it, and you stay on it, and you go over those scriptures every day. Because what does that do? Put those scriptures in your eyes, in your ears every day. And it gets down in your heart, and that'll keep it down in your heart. And it comes out your mouth, faith. Don't ever say anything different. If you don't want it to come to pass, don't say it. I said, well, I just don't think I could do that. Well, I didn't say it was for wimps. I know it's not easy to keep saying right when all you see is wrong. But I'm telling you it can be done. And I'm telling you, it's the word and the will of God for you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you also, it takes diligence on the word of God. You know, you can't just read your Bible every once in a while and have strong faith. So faith says, I receive it, which is, I take it and I have it. Faith recovers things that are lost or seem to be gone forever. Faith takes new ground. faith creates, if necessary. Glory to God. Faith will recover. Faith will take new ground. Glory to God. And faith creates, if necessary. God created the world by faith. Glory to God. Without faith, nothing was created, the scripture says. You are born of God. You're a child of God. You have the God kind of faith. That's the only kind of faith that comes out of the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't have any kind of wimpy faith. It's got the God kind of faith. If you've got faith, it's the God kind of faith. What does that mean to us? That means that God can do anything. If He's put His faith in me, then He'll back my words. He'll back His scripture. I stand on this word, He'll back it up. Faith takes. Glory to God. Faith takes it. What? Anything. Anything you need that's in line with the Word of God. So then Jesus said, therefore I say. So now Jesus is saying something to come to pass. Now therefore I say unto you. This is Jesus talking to you and me. Therefore I say unto you. Here's the word of the Lord on it. What things soever you desire. Would that include everything? Everything you desire. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them or take them and you shall have them. And then he said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So that lets us know that we have to walk in love. What is our commandment? That you love one another. Faith works out of a loving heart. You can't be hard-hearted, mean. You have to and have faith. Because God's faith doesn't operate out of mean people. So that's why He said to us that our law is the law of love. Amen. See, that fixes this issue right here. We walk in love. Love takes no account of evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong, does not rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but when truth prevails, love is not touchy, fretful, sinful. I said that. Love never fails. So the love of God in you will keep you from failing. It'll keep you from saying wrong. It'll keep you from doing wrong. Now, I'm telling you, when you read the Bible with an attitude of, Lord, I want to be corrected. You show me what I need to change, and I'll change it. If you just read the Bible for facts, you're not going to get what the power of the Word is. You want to know, and you want to put yourself in a position to be changed as you read the Word of God. I'm corrected all the time. I read the Bible every day, and I'm corrected all the time. And I've been doing this for so many years. But you let things slip. You'll read a scripture, and you'll think, I did that. I got out of love yesterday. I spoke sharply when I shouldn't have, or I did this, or I did that, or whatever. Let the Bible talk to you and correct you. That's where our growth is. That's where our power is, in doing whatever God tells us to do. We're doing the will of God. When we do the will of God, and we keep things straight in our lives, and we let the Word continually correct us, continually correct us. Show us the places where we spoke mean to somebody, where we did whatever it was that we wasn't right, or selfishness or whatever. We let it correct us and we make it right. There's nothing to stop our prayers from being answered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God is quite an operator. You'd think, I don't see any way God could ever get me out of debt. God can get, he could get the United States government out of debt if they had any faith at all. And I mean, we're believing, we're joining up and we're believing for this United States of America.
Amen.
We're believing. Let's just take hold of that. Deliverance for this nation.
Amen.
Deliverance. I mean, God can get the United States out of debt. Glory to God. That's how big he is. But he's got to have some people with wisdom up there. And even he can find people with wisdom if we'd believe him for that. He could find people with wisdom. You know, it really is a serious thing with the nation. We need to be praying and believing God and believing for the wisdom of God and the leaders. Faith, your faith is important to this nation. My faith is important to this nation. We can believe God. We can believe for the nation to get out of debt.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You don't think God could bail out the United States? God could bail out the United States with a, okay, you can have it. That's all it'd take.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's not my message, but I like it. I believe it. Hallelujah. So, I would read, maybe I'll share this later on in the week, because it's time for me to quit right now, but I would like to look some this week at David. I'd like to see how he did, what he did, how he slew the giant. Caleb said to Joshua, give me that mountain. I can do it. I can take it.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's a faith attitude. We're going to look at them. We're going to look at Joshua and Caleb and see how those men of God operated by faith. And they took the whole land. I can do it. I can do it. God is with me in Jesus' name. Now we need to get stirred up in the church and start laying hold of things by faith. Start believing God to do miracles. Miracles in this country. Miracles in the government. Miracles in the Senate. Miracles in the Supreme Court. Miracles in the White House. We're people of faith. And there's a lot of people who want to just write the church off. But that's not going to happen. Because the church is full of God. And the church is full of faith. And we're learning how to take by faith. Hallelujah. How to
now be healed in the name of
Jesus' name. So I want you to take this away with you. That faith or receiving, you believe you receive when you pray, that's taking it. You take it. If you need a house, take it by faith. If you need a job, take it by faith. If you need healing, take it by faith. Take it based on what God says. That gives you the... When you know what God says about it, faith comes. Find out what God says about it. Stand on those scriptures and take it with your mouth and with your heart. Take it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Satan comes and tries to take something away from you. Maybe you lose your job or whatever, you take a better one.
Amen.
See, the devil can't corner us.
Come on.
If you lose your job, you just say, well, all right, I'll take a better one. Lord, show me where my better job is. Show me, give me favor. Show me what to do. And then you pray. Don't just go to bed and sleep for 3 or 4 weeks. Get up, pray. Get in the Word. Stand on the scriptures that say you can have a better job. Amen? I'm telling you, people, we can do this thing. God's made us able. We're faith giants. Glory to God. Well, as whoever's speaking next, Brother Copeland. Now, here comes somebody right here that knows what he's talking about. I forgot who was behind me today.
Huh?
I forgot who was coming up today.
Well, it's just whosoever.
Whosoever. Whosoever.
Listen, I was thinking
about... Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
Didn't the Lord do all those things for us?
I was thinking about when you said, you know, I can't pay cash for a car. I can't pay cash for a house. God does not plan on just dumping a car on you. When you believe God, and you set yourself on His Word, He will begin your process of progress, and He will begin to teach you and train you and bring you to that place. Now, I don't, you know, the first car may be such a miracle that you just kind of stand there with your eyes crossed, but that's fine. He's not done with the car. The car is not the end deal. You are. And He'll keep teaching you and training you and raising you up, praise God, to where before too long you not only have the car, you know how.
Yeah.
More and more and more, year after year after year. And then I'm telling you, everything you've got could be stolen, burned down, blow up, or whatever, but you still remember how you got it all, and they can't take that away from you because it's on the inside of you. Now give the Lord a praise for that in Jesus' name.
We love you.
I love you, sweetie. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's receive our speaker's offering. Now, right now, don't jump and run on me here because we're not done here. The Lord gave me an assignment today concerning this. I was in a airport. And we were one of our first overseas trips. This goes way back in the early 70s. And we had a little camera that the Lord had supernaturally given us, that camera. And Gloria was the ministry photographer. Well, she kept the book table. She kept the tape. She did everything but record the tapes. And we were on our first overseas trip, so we were going on the airlines, because our little airplane didn't have legs long enough to get out of the country, you know. And so we were in the waiting room waiting for that airplane to board. And I had it, it was on a strap, and it was on my shoulder. And I had my hand on that strap. And I had walked up there into that boarding area, set our luggage, our hand carry-ons, you know. And this was back before they searched you four times and looked at the fillings in your teeth and all that, you know. But I still had my little camera on my shoulder, and because back in those days, I did quite a bit of photography, and I'm shooting pictures and stuff. Well, I'm just waiting for them to call the boarding. And somebody said something, and I turned around and I went here and there. And I reached up here, and my camera was gone. Boy, I mean some slick dude. I mean some Teflon fella. I mean, he slicked that camera off of me so slick, I didn't know where it went. And, you know, I'm pretty streetwise, man. I mean, I come off the street. I got saved out of the gutter, brother. Somebody asked me one time what my background was, and I said, sin. That's all I ever knew before I got saved, you know. When I was very, 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 very young, I had a drug problem. My mother drugged me to church day and night, drugged me in there and out of there all the time, every day. But none of it stuck. So, I mean, I thought, man, what happened to my camera? And I looked around there and I thought, boy. Now I'm looking for the guy, you know. I'm looking around. And the Lord arrested me. Just stopped me right where I was. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to spank that fella if I can find him. Get my camera back. He said, no, you're set up to lose more than that with that attitude. I said, well, okay, now what's the deal here? What now? He said, you need to sew that camera in your heart right now, you give it to him. And if somebody walks in here and said, here's your camera back, you say, no, that man's guilty of nothing. I gave him that camera. He said, it's got to be that real. Or if you just playing games, the devil steal everything you got. Well, I had learned this from my spiritual father, Oral Roberts. He talked to me. He was like I was. He was raised in the country, raised by farming people and so forth. And the Lord taught him about the seed of equal benefit. Because you get your crop rained out, you don't just stand there and say, oh, my seed's all gone. No, you go replant. But he said, don't forget the first one, because in the spirit, if you sow, there's more involved here than just money or material thing. It's what's coming out of your heart. Your motive and your spirit is the key issue to everything in life connected with the Word of God. So I said, all right. And I did that. I just said, I believe I receive it. In the name of Jesus, we need a camera in this ministry. And I said, now, Lord, I wasn't believing for that little camera when I got that. Now, I appreciate that little camera. That's wonderful. It did part of the job. But we need a better camera than that. And the camera that I was believing for then, and I said, I'm exercising it now. I'm sowing that little camera. And I told the Lord just exactly the camera that I had in my spirit, because that's what the ministry needed. And I just rolled care of it over on the Lord. Well, I never heard from that camera again, never heard from the guy again. We got on the airplane and went to our next assignment. And we got into such a powerful meeting in this in this full gospel businessmen's convention that it was so strong and so powerful. Man, I hadn't been out of the hotel in almost a week. I'd been preaching two or three services a day there, and I told Gloria, I said, listen, we got to get out of here. I can't be indoors all this kind of time. I got to get outside somewhere or another and shake this hotel off of me for a little bit. So we just took a quick walk between services and some little shorefront shops there. And I'm just walking along there looking at it. And I caught it out of the corner of my eye. And I turned, I said, wait a minute. And I caught her by the hand. I went over there and looked. And just a little tiny shop. And I saw this box, the kind of camera that I was after, back there in the corner. I said, I'm going to go in there and find out what they want for that. I went in there, and the young lady was working in there, and waited on me, young Japanese girl, I'd say mid-teens. I said, I'd like to see that Nikon F camera that you got in the corner. She said, what? And I'm thinking, there's no such thing as Japanese that don't know what a Nikon camera is. And so I said that again, and she said, she walked over there and looked and got it out. And she looked at it like she caught a frog or something. She said, excuse me. And she walked back through the curtains back there, and I could hear her talking to somebody, and I figured out real quick that her papa owned this store. Only he's speaking Japanese, you see. So, and man, he was just going on. And he came out there, and he said, he's trying to talk to me, and she's interpreting between the two of us. And when she first said, we don't have a Nikon F. I said, yeah, it's right over here in this corner. She went over there and got it and took it back behind the curtain. And I could hear him just going. I could tell then, part of it by the Holy Spirit, but other part, I could just tell by listening to her, they didn't know that box was in there. Now, I don't know whether God put that in there right then or what. I don't care. It ain't my business to tell him where he gets anything. He just comes by it honest, and that's all you need to know. Unless he tells you. Well, I just stood there when she came out. I said, how much? She still just looked at me funny. Well, I had a roll of American Express traveler's checks in my pocket. And I knew there was $250 worth of checks in there. And I just had a quick witness in my spirit. I pulled those out. I said, go ask your father if you take $250 for that camera. Whoa! So I just filled out all those checks and gave it to him. That was a $700 camera. And I said, what about the lens? Oh, and he's digging around in there, and he found the lens to it. And of course, you know, the lens was worth a couple hundred dollars. I said, how much you want for that? Oh, go away camera. So, I'll tell you how, my lightning fast mind still hadn't gotten a hold of what just happened here. I was so thrilled over this camera, I walked out the door and Gloria said, you got your harvest, didn't you? Ah, yeah, I did. Glory to God. I danced all the way back to that hotel. Woo, preached about 3 hours that night on showing before they can steal it. Praise God. Amen. Now, I wanted a 200-millimeter lens for that thing, and I said, well, Lord, this ain't over yet. I said, this ain't 100-fold on what that other camera cost. And I just laid hold of that like Gloria was saying. And acting on that scripture, I said, I believe I receive 200-millimeter lens for this camera. And I just rolled care of it over on the wall. I didn't think about it anymore. Just gave it to him. We finished that meeting in San Francisco and went from there to a meeting in Honolulu. So, and here again, I needed to be outside. So I told Gloria, I said, let's go walk up and down Kalakua. I want to stretch my legs a little bit and get out of there. So we did. Well, here's a camera shop. I said, maybe they got a 200-millimeter lens in there. We just see how much they are and so on. Walked in there, and there I saw one up on, I could tell by the case. I recognized it. I knew it was Nikon because of the case it was in. And I could see it up there. I said, I want to look at that. Is that a 200-millimeter lens? Looks like it from here. And he looked up there, and he said, I don't know. He said, let me get it down. He got him a ladder and got up there. He said, brought it over there, and I opened it up. Sure enough, it was. I said, how much you want for that? He said, I don't know. I said, you don't know how much? He said, I didn't know it was here. Well, I'm thinking, whoa. Now, listen, the Lord really teaching me something here. I said, well, go find out. He came back out there. He said, the boss says, what do you want to give for it? We don't know where it came from. Maybe it's on consignment. We don't know. I said, I'll give you $100 for it. He said, so. I danced out of that store. But out of this process now, the Lord brought this up to me this afternoon. I'm sitting over there praying over the service, praying over the offering, and praying over what He would have me sow into the speaker's offering this afternoon and several other things. And He reminded me of this. And He said, now I want you to tell people in the congregation over there this afternoon, if you have had a cut in salary or income of any other kind. If you have had a loss in the stock market, if you've been laid off from your job, or any other kind of loss, if somebody just flat out stole something from you, you need to turn loose of that. Are you listening to me now? Well, now, Brother Copeland, where do you get this? Well, nothing is a seed unless you determine in your heart it's a seed. Why do we determine that an offering is a seed? Where do we get that? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, well, actually 7, 8, 9, and also in Galatians chapter 6, in both places, the Apostle Paul teaching about offerings sowed into ministries in one place, sowed into the lives of people in need in another place, and in both places he called them and taught on the laws of sowing and reaping. That's where we get it. Amen. Now, what did Jesus say about those who crucified him? Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. Well, so how do you forgive? You forgive the people that harm you, steal from you. Your enemies. Why is that so important to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it so important that you do that? This is not a case of you wimping out. A lot, that's a whole lot harder than getting mad. But why does he want you to do like that? If you'll go to the 12th chapter of Romans and study that, he'll tell you that rather than to try to defend yourself all the time, trying to do these things for yourself, make room for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll take care of it for you.
Vengeance is mine.
See, you're not equipped like that. God didn't create you to do vengeance. God didn't create you to protect your supply and all of that. He didn't create you to earn a living. He didn't create you to toil. He created you to believe Him.
Amen.
Let Him take care of those things. If you allow that junk to get in your spirit, it'll stop your faith. It'll cut your faith off. And that's, we're going to get into that further in a little bit. But you need to exercise that right now. Now, let me give you instructions here. You're praying, believing God, whatever He tells you to sow into this meeting this afternoon, that's fine. Let's say, just, I don't know what it is, but let's say He tells you to sow $100 in the offering this afternoon. I'm not suggesting this to you. I don't want you to think I am. I'm just, you, $1, $100, $1,000. Maybe He told you to give $1,000,000 in offering. Okay. I'm not here to tell you what to put in there. That's between you and the Holy Ghost. Now, but I remember the time like Brother Jerry, and he said, "Hey, brother, I ain't no tenfold return going to do me any good. I got to have 100 or I ain't going to make it." So you're believing God for 100-fold because that's what Jesus said about sowing into the gospel. Now, let's say that somebody cost you. What was your reduction in income? What was your loss in the stock market? How has Satan been successful in reducing you? Now here you have $100 here that the Lord instructs you to put into the offering, okay? Or whatever amount it was. And over here is $10,000 that I lost. Satan stole from me. The garage caught fire, and my little motor scooter burned up. My lawnmower burned up. Well, what were they worth? Well, I don't know. There's just used stuff. I didn't ask you how it'd been used. I'm asking you what it's going to cost to replace it. Now get off of your used car mentality. Amen. Now, let's say you come up with this. Here's $5,000 here that you've been shorted. Here's $10,000 you've been shorted. $50,000, whatever it was. We start off $10,000. Let's say $10,000 here and $100 over here. Now, you write that $10,000 down, put it in your purse or stick it in your pocket somewhere where you can keep it with you. Mm-hmm. Don't put it in the offering container. Now, you take the $100 and you pray over it and sow it in the offering. But now, your offering today is $10,100. You're going to sow that loss into the kingdom of God. You're going to get it out of yourself, and I hold nothing against the people where it went. I don't hold anything against the Madoffs. I don't hold. Have you noticed the love of money come springing up out of that? One man said, I'm not telling on him. He did it on public television. If he didn't want anybody telling him, they ought not have said it. He said, I was thinking about beating him to death with a bat, but I'd rather kill him with my hands because I want to feel him die. Now, who's the big sinner here, Madoff or this murderer? See, you wouldn't know that if you don't know the scripture. But now, that's the reason God don't want that in you, because you let that grow and seethe and grow and seethe. Boy, I'm telling you now, it'll cut off everything in you as if you had killed the man. You need to understand spiritual rules and laws. Amen. So it is vitally important. You stay on the forgiving side all the time. That's the reason it's so vitally important. Not to practice anger. You practice forgiveness. You practice it. I mean, you walk in it. You practice it. You forgive everything in sight.
Amen. Amen.
Practice it. People come on television and say, I forgive him, Lord. Praise God, I forgive her. I forgive them. I forgive them. You get on there, you watch the news, politicians make you so mad you want to spit on the floor. Mm-hmm. You can't imagine how anybody be that dumb. You know why? You ain't never been there, that's why. You ain't never been a school teacher one day or a military officer one day and then suddenly become the President of the United States or a United States Senator. There's a whole new class of demons you're going to get introduced to Inauguration Day, and there's going to be a bunch of junk you ain't never heard of start eating holes in you. You're going to have dreams you never had before. You're going to hear junk you ain't never heard before. You're going to see trash that is just pure bad that you ain't never heard the likes before. So don't be judgmental.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't do that if I was president.
Yeah, you would. Unless you know something about the Word of God. If you knew no more about the Word than he or she does, you'd do the same dumb thing. So God didn't put you here to judge. He put you here to believe him. Amen. So you can sow in every area of life. Because Jesus said, the whole kingdom of God is as if a man put seed in the ground. I don't care what you're talking about, love, the gifts of the Spirit. I don't care what it is. The whole kingdom of God sits firmly on give. And it's given to you again. Judge not that you be not judged. See, you sow the seed, you're going to reap the deed. Yeah. Unless you repent and get you a crop failure. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
Father, we pray over this today in the name of Jesus. And we release it according to your word. We will not come up short.
we will not fail. We will not lack. We will not be diminished. And we will not want. Particularly in a time of famine. Because in times like these, somebody has to prosper. And somebody has to believe God. And somebody has to be righteous in the financial world as well as all of the other. What does God need in an epidemic? What does He need when the flu season is running rampant? What does He need? He needs a bunch of people that can minister healing to somebody. Amen. Huh? Amen. He doesn't need a bunch of sick Christians. So what does He need in a financial famine? He needs a bunch of people who know how to believe God for finances, how to stand in the gap, and how to minister to somebody that's squalling their eyes out because they're 401k and ain't even a K anymore. Well, how you going to minister to them? You don't need to be ministering them with money first. Uh-uh. You need to minister to them that they've got something greater than a 401k. That their God will meet their needs according to their riches in glory. Now get your eyes off that mess and get it on Jesus where it belongs. Glory to God. But God needs you strong. He needs you healthy. He needs you filled with the Holy Ghost. And He needs you rich.
Amen. Amen.
So get your faith on the line. And you'll never get there hanging on to something that you lost. I don't lose.
That's right.
A very bad loser.
Come on.
Very bad loser. I don't lose. I play to win. I stay till we win. I don't play nine innings. You understand? Right. Particularly not with the devil. Amen. No, we go on till I win. Amen. Why? Because my heavenly Father is the umpire. And my big brother Jesus and I own the bat and the ball. There used to be a kid in our neighborhood. He had the bat all the time. And we had to do whatever he wanted to do. He'd take his bat and go home, man. And so he got 14 strikes, 16 strikes. He was never out. Why is it the worst ball player in the neighborhood is always the one with the bat and ball? I don't know. It just seemed like it worked out like that. Father, we thank you for it. Can you hear it? Can you hear what the Lord's saying to you now? Huh? Say amen if you can. Because I'm not going to get off of it till you do. This is an assignment from the Lord, and you need to take hold of it. Say amen to me if you do. Thank you, Lord. So, ushers, people need envelopes. Go ahead and raise your hand if you need an envelope for your giving. I'm going to come down there. I can go ahead and receive the offering. And we'll begin our study this afternoon. Because it's going to flow right down these same lines. Praise God. Now, this doesn't happen all that often. That Gloria came back to me yesterday. And she said, well, you heard her up here on the platform. She said, did the Lord know you was going to preach on Mark on faith? And Gloria, the Lord. And I said, I told him last night. I go, no. No. Neither of us tell the Lord what we're going to preach. You understand that for good. And this is one of the few times that she and I have been told to preach down the same lines, but with two different messages. And you'll see the difference as we get into the... Now, this used to happen between Jerry and I all the time, and still does a lot of the time. But there's been times we walk into a meeting where both of us invited to preach, we'd have the same outline in our book and never talk to one another.
Wow.
We got in a meeting one night it was out here in the state of California, and they had invited us both to preach, and the leader of the meeting said, I don't know which of you's supposed to preach tonight and which one's supposed to preach tomorrow night. And he asked me, he said, Brother Copeland, do you know? I said, no, I don't care. You know, making a difference whether I preach or not. The Lord told me to be here, I'm here. He said, you, Brother Jerry? He said, no, I feel like Brother Copeland does better. He said, why don't you let Brother Copeland preach both nights? I said, I'm not going to do it. Why don't you let him preach both nights? Well, this was kind of a different thing for this guy because he's used to preachers, you know, being jealous of their time with one another. He said, both of you going to preach tonight. And one of you can just preach all night or just, it's between the two of you. I ain't having more to do with it because he didn't want to make the choice. So we said, okay. He went to his room. I went to mine. And so the word of the Lord came that afternoon. And he said, you let Jerry go first. I said, okay. While I'm talking, turn to the book of James. So I realized in my prayer time that afternoon, I realized what was about to take place. So I took an outline out of my book on the authority of the name of Jesus, part two. Stuck it in my notebook. The leader of the thing, he introduced Jerry and sat down next to me. I said, you don't see the supernatural in operation? Oh, yeah. I said, I didn't say spectacular. I said supernatural. People look for spectacular and miss supernatural a lot of times. So I said, now, don't you see this? I said, the authority of the name of Jesus, part two. You see where it starts? He said, yeah. I said, now, before God, I hadn't talked to Jerry about this. And I may miss it. I'm human. But I better don't. I showed it to him. Jerry got up there and said, tonight we're going to talk about the authority of the name of Jesus. That guy looked at me. He preached right up to that first scripture I had on my outline. And he read it. And he stopped and he said, well, that's far enough. Brother Copeland will take it up here. That guy jumped up out of his seat and said, my God, that beats all I ever saw in my life. And then he told everybody what happened. Folks, we're flowing in the Holy Ghost. We didn't come here to play games. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're not playing church here. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your word. We come before it expectantly with hungry hearts. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, are you there? This is our base scripture that we read in my service yesterday morning, time allotted to me at that time. Do not err, my beloved brethren. 16th verse. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, isn't that what we were talking about there a while ago? See, you get mad and you've cut off the righteousness of God. So be angry and sin not. What does that mean? Keep your big mouth shut. That's where you get in trouble, is shooting your mouth off. Well, I got mad at that fella that slipped that camera off of me. But I had to forgive him. And you know, when you forgive by purpose, as an act of will, because God said it, not because you feel like it or don't feel like it. Your feelings ain't worth nothing when it comes to making a spiritual decision. You put your feelings where they belong, and they're worth everything to you because they're very precious to you. But you let your feelings run the show, it'll run you in the ground 100% of the time. Now, you know, in other words, you tell your feelings how to feel. You don't let them tell you how to feel. You do it on purpose. You will notice the breakthrough once you do it. Not before you do it. After you do it. You forgive as an act of your will. I mean, if they'd have brought that guy in there to me and that policeman been hanging on to that camera, I know what my emotions have been like. I still won't spank him, you know. That's just human business. No, you can't do that. There's a higher level here. The moment you say, no, I refuse that emotion, I forgive and I release him. Right along about that time, your feelings will get in line with what's happening in your spirit. And all of a sudden, you fall in love with the guy. And you start praying for God to help him. I don't want the guy going to jail over my camera. Mm-mm. You want to minister to him. You want to help him. Makes all the difference in the world. Now, be ye doers of the word, verse 22, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like a man that looks at himself, his natural face, in a glass or in a mirror. He looks at himself and then goes his way and immediately forgets what manner of man he was or what he saw. But whoso looks into the perfect, say perfect, law. What is a law? A law is something that works when it's put to work. And the reason it's called a law is because it always works. Amen. Well, it didn't work for me. No, you didn't work.
Come on.
It works.
Amen.
You did what you thought. Now, Mr. Edison did that over 900 times before he ever got a light bulb. And every time he thought he was right. But there was a law there that nobody had discovered in fullness enough to know how to get the They knew the laws of electricity, but they didn't know what to do with that filament in there and how to make the electricity and the filament operate at the same time long enough to make light over about 20 seconds. And that's where the problem was. Well, when he discovered the law that governed it, voila. Huh?
Amen.
We have light. Same thing's true spiritually. Amen. Spiritual laws. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The laws of sowing and reaping, giving, receiving. The laws of the Spirit, how they work. Well, you get mixed up in natural process and spiritual process, and you let one get in the way of the other, and you begin to dilute your faith. You remember what we talked about last night where Jesus said, "Fear not, believe only, and you shall be made whole"? Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. But if you don't know that, you hear you begging God to do something and you stand there shaking in your boots because you're afraid he won't. Or afraid of something else. Well, if you don't know the difference between those laws and what governs it, somebody's going to have to help you. But my brother and sister, when you stand on the Word of God, He starts revealing to you how those laws work. And they work all the time. And they work every time. And what Gloria's been sharing with you from the 11th chapter of Mark, you and I now are going to get into the laws that govern it and how they work. How to put them to work. How to release it. You've heard me make this illustration before, that an airplane's an airplane. I learned how to fly 50 years ago. 50 years ago, month after next. And I was flying that little bitty airplane. It was so little that me and my instructor couldn't hardly get in there. Now, we were both, pretty beefy boys. And back in those days, I weighed about 225 about that time. And he was equally as obese as I was. And if you call it what it is, you can get rid of it.
That's right.
You know, if you call it chubby, you ain't never going to get rid of it, man. You're going to be chubby or chubbess all the rest of your life until you get squared away with obesity, brother. Now get it out of there, praise the Lord. Because you've been redeemed from it. So, I learned how to fly. That little old airplane, man, would just fly, you know, just have such a big time. And I remember the day I soloed. I wanted him out of that airplane so bad I could taste it. I wanted this thing by myself. Get out of here. And he finally got out that afternoon. I'd been learning it's August, Texas, hot. Airplanes don't like hot no more than people do. So I was flying early in the morning. And this is a Fort Worth Municipal Airport. This is back before DFW. And no traffic. You know, the air is smooth and cool. About just a little after daylight in the morning on up to 7 or 8 o'clock, you know. Now, that's where all of my tons of experience, all 8.5 hours of it, had been at that time of day. I soloed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The air is full of airplanes. I didn't know. All I could think of is get him out of here. I want to fly that so bad. Well, he got out. I'm supposed to do 3 touch-and-go landings and full stop on the third one and pull over there, and he's going to get back in the airplane then and finish up the day's lessons. I got in there, and I did everything I'd been doing before. I called the tower, Meacham Tower, Cessna 55 X-ray, ready for takeoff. 55 X-ray, you clear for takeoff? 55 X-ray, and I'd take off, go downwind, fly along there and say, Meacham Tower, Cessna 55 X-ray is on the left downwind, runway 17, and all of the time before, he had always said, Roger that, 55 X-ray, you are clear to land. That's all I'd ever heard. It'd been early in the morning. Nobody out there but me. I did everything I was told to do. I got left downwind, and I'm chugging along there, you know. I-7 Meacham Tower, Cessna 55 X-ray on the left downwind. Touch and go, runway 17. Well, I intended to hear the same thing. He said, Roger that, 55 X-ray, number 8 in the pattern, follow DC-3 just outside the outer marker. Let me know when you got him in sight. I said, what? It's the same airplane. But circumstances have changed. Outer quarter marker. First thing I thought, somebody got something on the top of their barn. I don't know what an outer marker is. I never heard of no kind of me. You got a marker up here somewhere? What you talking about? Well, and I thought, oh, God. And I called him. I said, Meacham Tower 55 X-ray, this is my first solo. He said, okay, 55 X-ray. He said, just maintain your heading and your altitude. Can you do that? I said, yes, sir. He said, you've got a DC-3 in the pattern. I'll point him out to you. Well, that got rid of that marker. I'll point him out to you. Let him pass under your left wing and then make your turn on left base. I never heard of that before, Creflo. You're supposed to let him pass under your left wing. You know why? Ain't no way you can hit him. I don't care if I was flying an F-16. You let him fly under your left wing, you can't hit him. You have to do some kind of funny whiffer deal, man, to get back over there after him once he's passed under that left wing. I learned that the day I soloed. I still use it today. 10,500 hours later. Type ratings and all kinds of funny things. You know, having a lot of fun. Let them pass on your left wing when you're in the pattern. Now, I'm using that to let you know this. I learned something that day. Now, I don't make any difference, and I'm flying an airplane now that is just, what, 91% of the speed of sound, and enjoying it. I'm as comfortable in that airplane as I was that little 5.5 X-ray. But you know, they both fly the same way. All the same principles. Everything that made 5.5 X-ray fly is what makes that Citation 10 fly. Same thing. But you don't take somebody in 5.5 X-ray just because he's soloed, and then the next morning stick him in a Citation 10. He'll stick it up out there like a dart somewhere. Yet the principles are the same. Don't wait till you're fighting cancer before you find out anything about faith.
Amen.
Amen.
You need somebody that's been there. Somebody that's studied these laws. Amen. That's the reason your pastor needs to know. He needs to be checked out on that stuff before you ever get a hold of it. So that's where we are today. The principles are the same. But you study them, you believe them, you stand on them, say, yes, sir, that's the way it is. That's it, up there. Not the way I think it is, or I feel it is, or somebody told me it was or wasn't. No. I mean, I don't care if I did tell you. I'm here to teach you. I'm not here to do it for you.
Amen.
You go find it out for yourself. You go dig in the Word of God. You start believing God like Gloria did. You make out that little list. Amen. We read a little book one time when we first got to Tulsa that Brother Oral Roberts wrote, our spiritual father. And it said in there, don't let somebody steal your dreams. Write them down. Well, the scriptures. She did that. And took all of the scriptures. Man, we didn't know. Like they say out there in West Texas, we didn't know sick 'em from come on. Dear Lord, we know what we do, but we knew the Word knew. And we knew the Word was right, whether we understood it or not. And so we took it and obeyed it and stood on it. Well, when we stood on the Word that says, owe no man anything but to love him, that's the only scripture I knew. I just found that, and I'd already given God my word that what I found in His Word, I would not change His word to fit my lifestyle or try to excuse myself from what He said. I would change my lifestyle to fit His word. Now, when you start changing your lifestyle is when you begin to learn that system. If I had said, no, I don't use any of that stuff, I'd have been stuck in 5.5 X-ray. Well, 5.5 X-ray is not going to fly Gloria and me and the people that we need from Fort Worth to Long Beach without taking a week to get here. Because it'd take about 9 trips at 92 miles an hour. That ain't going to work. But had I rejected advancement and refused to learn it and refused to walk in, no, this is all I do. This is what we have. We in a 5.5 X-ray church. Well, your church is going to be plodding around 85, 90 miles an hour while everybody else in jets. You understand what I'm talking to you about here? If you don't, there ain't no use us going any further with this.
Because
you're going to be stuck. Say this.
I never
ever
attempt
to alter God's word
to
fit my lifestyle
or
my feelings.
I always
alter my lifestyle
and take in order my feelings
to fit God's word. Now, if you always do that, you're always growing.
Amen.
You're always moving. People don't like to grow. Grow costs. Grow cost effort. To go from one place to a more excellent place always costs effort. It always takes time, and it always takes money.
Amen.
Now, what else does it take? Prayer based on the Word of God. Because without prayer based on the Word of God, all your effort, all your time, and all your money is in vain. You won't get there. Or you may get something else, but it won't be what you need to have. So, say this, I'm a doer of the Word. Not a hearer only. Okay, let's go back to Mark 11:22, and let's walk through this. First thing I want you to notice here in this 11th chapter, verse 11, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now, if you don't settle this, you can forget about the rest of this chapter.
Come on. Come on.
I'm going to tell you like flight instructor said on the first four-engine airplane I ever got typed in, and he stood up there and he had this great big book, said Lockheed on the front of it, you know, and he's got this big old book, Billy, and he stood there and he said, now, in all of these weeks of training that you're going to be here, if you hear anything, see anything in print or come out of anybody's mouth that's not in line with this book is right. And it was the aircraft flight manual, the Lockheed's operator's manual. And I looked over there at my partner and I said this to Dwayne. We heard this again at flight safety. And I said, Dwayne, I wish preachers had that much sense. If I say anything, if you hear anything, read anything in print that is crosswise of this book, then this book is right and that isn't. But you don't take what you think it says or what somebody said it says. You're going to find out for yourself. And it takes reading the whole body of work, not just little snapshots here and there. Now, that's the reason I'm saying this about this. You notice he went into that temple, and what did it say? It says he looked round about on all things. He didn't just go storming into that temple. He said, I never go anywhere but what my Father tells me to go. I never say anything but what my Father says, say, or has already taught me. I don't do anything but what I first see my Father do it. He knew there was wrong things in that temple.
Come on.
Amen. He knew it by the Spirit. He knew what it was. But he didn't just go charging in there and go to ripping things apart. No, he walked in there as much in the background as he could. He didn't want anybody really seeing him in there. He never considered himself to be the star of the show anyway. His Father and the Word of God is the star of the show. Always with him. Ought to be with you and me. He walked in there and he looked around. Took notice. What's he doing? He's not looking around judging these people. He's turned inward. He's listening to the Spirit of God. What's going on in here? Not what's on the surface. What's in the Spirit? You can see something you think is just vitally wrong. It may be to you that's wrong, and that's not. So you got to find out in your spirit what's wrong here. And what's right? He walked through there, and then notice what it says. When evening was come, he left town. He went to Bethany. He didn't hang around out there and brood over that thing. He went to Bethany. It was the next day before he came back. But boy, the next day when he came back, he knew what he was going to do. What do you suppose he did the night before? He spent the night in prayer. That's the reason he was so powerful when he faced that fig tree. Now that ought to talk to you. Of course, he's always powerful. He never was prayed out. Amen. Or stressed out. But he also never did anything without prayer and fasting. That's the reason he came up against that demon they couldn't cast out. He said, this one goes out by prayer and fasting. We notice he didn't stop and pray and fast before he cast him out. He'd already done that. He prayed and fasted before he got into this thing. He walked in there and knew exactly what he was going to do. And I am completely and totally satisfied. He knew exactly by the Spirit what was about to happen with that fig tree, because these men needed to know the principles of faith. They were about to see a side of him they'd never seen before in that temple, and they needed to know where it was coming from, and they needed to know the power of God and how it operated, because they're fixing to need it. California people understand what fixing means? I say that to you know, Texas people say it all the time. I forget about it. I'm fixing to do this, fixing to do that. Well, what does fixing mean? That means I'm about to commence to start. He was about to commence to start the clean house in there, brother. Amen. And when he did, I mean that split it. That split it.
Yes, it did.
His family wouldn't come to his meetings anymore. They stood on the outside and said, send somebody in there and tell him his mom and his brothers won't talk to him. He wouldn't go outside. He said, who are my mother and my brothers? They're right here, people that do the will of my Father. The people that do the will of my Father have given birth to my ministry. He didn't go out there. You got to understand him pretty good to understand a man that won't go outside when his mama calling him. Well, in a lot of cases, mama taught it and we bought it. And if it was religion and God's talking to you about it, you don't have to be out of love about it. God ain't telling you to take a whip and clean out the temple or anything else. That's Jesus' job. Still is, by the way. But you need to walk in love and be in love. Amen. But that don't mean that has to be where you go to church, what you do, what you say, just because that's the way you were brought up.
Amen.
What did I tell you? Find out for yourself. Right. You get in the book. Your mama might have been right all the time. Get in the book. Your grandma knew things that you didn't know, but now you know things maybe that she didn't know. Get in the book. Stay there. Stay there. That's the key issue. So he walks out of there. Now notice this. On the morrow, when they left from Bethany, he was hungry. So now this is morning, right? Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered the tree. That tree said something. And if you know that the tree said something to him, now you know what formed his words that he spoke back. So, Billy, you and I know, both Billies, isn't it? We know from what Jesus said. We know what that tree said. That tree cursed itself when it said to Jesus, you ain't getting any food off of me, brother. The tree ought to keep its mouth shut. Trees can't talk, Brother Copeland. You have the devil talks for them. Natural things talk to you that way. Right? Your car will talk to you and say, we ain't going to make it. Talk back and say, you're the car. I'm the owner. We will make it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm speaking to you in the authority of my heavenly Father. You talking to me by the authority in a bum generator and 150,000 miles on you. Now shut your mouth and listen to God. I'll remind you again. You are the car. I'm the owner. We're going to make it. Don't tell it. No man drive you again forever. Don't, no. Don't do that. That's not the end result you're after. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, stay with me. Amen. You hear Creflo say it all the time. I'm working on something. Well, he learned that from me. Dear Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I love you, man. Amen. So, now here it is, morning. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. He wasn't saying, well, you know, Brother Copeland, I really have a praise in my heart, but I just don't, I'm not very demonstrative. You are if you get your heart full of the Word of God.
Amen.
You ain't got no praise in your heart. You got fear in your heart and praise in your head. You're afraid to have anybody hear you say it.
Come on, man.
You get it. You get the praise in your heart. It will come out your mouth. Jesus said, out of abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Hallelujah. Amen. So, they came to Jerusalem. He went in there and took care of business inside that temple. When evening was come, he went out of the city. Now, what have we had? We've had approximately 12 hours, right?
Amen.
So put that in the margin of your Bible there. That's 12 hours. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, well, you know, Peter's going to say something. I mean, if it's wrong, he's going to say something, man, and repent later. But had there been any physical evidence that that tree had been affected the night before, Peter would have called it to remembrance then. Wouldn't he? Huh? Sure he would. So they walked right by that tree that evening. Nobody said anything. Now, I know Jesus well enough because of what he's taught me over the last 40 years. I know him well enough, he didn't even look at that tree. As far as he's concerned, that tree is dead and gone. He didn't have to look over there and see, well, maybe in the morning. No, no, man. He done spoke and that ended that. He don't have to look or feel or taste, or hear, to judge his faith. Now, what's going on here? The blessing of Abraham. You have to remember that. This is what he walked in all the time. I thought he walked by faith. Well, where you been? The faithful are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham believed God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness, and the blessing was released. The faith of Abraham activated the blessing of Abraham, and it still does. And that's what Jesus was using. He never counted himself or preached that he was the Son of God. He knew he was. But he ministered in this earth anointed with the blessing of Abraham and called himself the Son of Man. Anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's that? The blessing of Abraham. Galatians 3:8. So now, he said, blessed. Remember what he said to Thomas? Thomas said, unless I can see the holes in his hands, unless I can put my hands in the hole in his side, I will. Man's will has taken over. Not his faith, his will. I will not believe. Now, he could have said, I don't care whether I feel it or not. I know these brethren. I know they ain't going to lie to me. I will believe what they say and report. No. I don't care what they say. If I can't see it, I ain't going to believe it. So what did Jesus say? I mean, he walked in the room without opening the door, sat down and ate. And said, handle me, a spirit hath not flesh and bone, not blood, bone, as you see me have. His glorified body, there ain't no blood in there. His veins are full of the glory of God. It's glorified, not a blood body, a glory body. Well, he is commanding the entire spectrum of spirit, soul, and body. Amen. So he said, Thomas, give me your hand, brother. Tuck it in there. He said, now, put your finger in that hole right there. You can see daylight through his hands. But stuff don't fall through the hole. Why? Because spirit is more firm than the flesh when it's glorified in manifestation. So he says, stick your finger in there. Thomas stuck his finger in that hole, stuck his hand in there. My God. Jesus said, Thomas, quit being faithless. You have believed. Now, and if you don't get nothing else today, this is bottom line of your lesson today. You have believed because you have seen. Remember now, Jesus Christ made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through him, or on all the rest of us through him. Are you with me now? You are the blessed. But the thing here is, I am blessed, but here's where the problem lies, is in the manifestation of the blessing. How does that work? How do you get there? That's what he's talking about right here, having faith in God. How do you get the manifestation of the blessing that heals the body? How do you get the manifestation of the... It's all listed over here in Deuteronomy 28, all of it. The healing, the deliverances, everything's listed over there. But how do you get it manifest in your life? You're walking around with it in you. How do you get it out? How do I receive what I need? How is God ever going to get any money to me when I ain't got a job anymore? Like I told you earlier, that's his problem, not yours. You're wasting your time on God's behalf. All good and perfect gifts come down from above. Heaven already has way more than you ever need, and our needs are met according to his riches and glory by the anointing of Jesus. That's the blessing of Abraham by manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But it has to come down. There has to be a connection made to get it to you. Well, it's not a natural connection. It's a supernatural connection. Now listen to what he said. I'm going to get you through this. Thomas, quit being faithless. You have believed because you have seen. Are you ready for it? Blessed! Blessed! I can't help but shout it. Oh, if I get louder, I would. Blessed are they who have believed and not seen! When you believe the Word, when you act on the Word, I don't care what you feel, what you see, what you smell. It has nothing to do with anything but the natural, carnal, fleshly man. But when you believe something you can't see just because Jesus said it was so, wham, something happens. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith grabs that blessing and shovels it into action.
Glory.
I don't care what it's for. That's the way you got born again. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh not on this wise. Who will bring Christ down from above? Who will bring Christ up from the dead? No! The righteousness of faith says the word is nigh me, even in my mouth and in my heart. And when I say it, a man that will confess Jesus is Lord and believe he's been raised from the dead, he shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto. Two. Hallelujah. My God. We ain't hoping and praying no more. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is the dream built out of God's promises. I'm telling you, faith released motivates that blessing and molds it into that dream till it comes past. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you take just a little bit more? Something else here you need to see, because this needs to be introduced. The morning as they passed by, they saw the tree dried up from the roots. So 24 hours, that thing had been working for 24 hours, at least 12 of it you couldn't see. Somewhere after, between the 12th and the 24th hour, sometime during the night there, I don't know, it may have been 10 seconds before they saw it. It might have been an hour after they walked by the night before. I don't know. I don't care. What does matter to me is that blessing forced, released by faith at that tree through the words of Jesus was not interrupted for 24 hours until it finished its work, and that tree will never produce again. Now, if you don't get that, like I said, forget the rest of it. That's what all the teaching is about. From the time you say it till the time it's manifest. Let me give you some other insight in here into this. The battleground's in your mind. Satan has to get to your mind. That's all he's got, brother. Jesus stripped him of everything else. But he'll con you. He'll con you into stuff. Get you to think in some way or another. If you don't want the Word of God, it says you'll just chase that rabbit till you die. That's the way he does. But when he starts pushing you, and you hear that little conversation that runs around in your mind all the time. Well, you ain't going to get it this time. It might not work this time. What are they going to think about you? And then just drift off out into something else. Well, you know, you never know what God's going to do. And then you go talking to yourself all the time, day in, day out, telling yourself a bunch of lies because the devil told you that. Don't blame it on him. Blame it on yourself. You're never going to change anything until you take responsibility.
Come on.
The Bible says, cast that imagination down, bring every thought into captivity. I learned this from Phil Driscoll, when they put him in prison for something that wasn't against the law. Now, you talk about something make you bitter, that'd make you mad enough to fight. But one of the officers, I was there the day they released him from prison, one of the officers came out and said, Brother Copeland, they found out you in the parking lot. Said, and I came out just to tell you, I want to meet you and tell you, bless you for helping our prisoners here. But she said, there's something else I want to tell you. She said, that Phil Driscoll, by the time Phil was just walking out the back door and we're out here in the parking lot, she said, that Phil Driscoll, she said, Brother Copeland, he changed the entire complexion of this penitentiary. She said, he brought the love of God in this place, and I'll tell you, it will never, ever be the same again. So what did he do? He never let jail get in him. He took the blessing of the Lord. Now, sure, it was rough. You don't know how rough. He probably won't tell you. because he didn't major in that. But he told me, he said, Kim, that scripture took on a new meaning to me. And he said, the word of the Lord came to him and said, Phil, bringing every thought into captivity means put that thought in jail and don't never let it out. You're not going to get it. It ain't going to happen for you. You know, 100-fold return. Who you think you are? You ain't going to get a 10-fold return. Must let no 100-fold return. Well, see, the Bible really didn't mean a 100-fold return. It just meant... Well, I just always had the idea Jesus, intelligent enough to say exactly what he meant. And that's what he said. He wasn't talking about potential or lack of it. He said 30, 60, and 100. The 30-fold return and the 60-fold return is ground that has not been developed enough yet to get a 100-fold return. And no return was the one that let the devil steal it. So, amen. Hallelujah. Believing you receive. Walking that thing you have talking to you in your mind.
Come on.
That's where your job lies. And the only way you're going to do it is put the word in your mouth. You're going to have to answer that thing with the word. You have to answer it with the word. Answer the tree with the word. Answer the sickness with the word. Answer the job loss with the word. Answer the bills with the word. Answer the income tax with the word. You answer it all with the word. You put the words of Jesus in your mouth and you keep it there.
Amen.
Now, I told you I'd tell you this. Bill Winston was talking about this, and he's talking about that time span there between that 24 hours and not letting anything get in your mind and in your spirit and in your heart to stop that. Nothing. I mean, you stand guard over that thing night and day. You have to get up in the middle of the night and go out in the backyard and shout, do it. Don't, like Gloria said, you ain't going to be a wimp and get this.
That's right.
Fight the good fight of faith. It didn't say sit around and cry about it. Get up and fight for it.
Amen.
Praise. Your healing is worth fighting for. Your family is worth fighting for.
Amen.
And he said, Chicago, wintertime, cold. And they had had a record snowfall and record low temperatures hit right after it. And the temperature went in the ditch, man. I mean, it's below zero outside and it's cold. And he got out and there they were up and down the street. Cars covered up in snow and there's wreckers, two or three different wrecker companies out there, you know, jump starting people's cars, trying to get them going. You know the picture. Well, maybe if you raise out here, you don't. But believe me, this is not any fun. Oh, it's snow. People don't do that in Chicago in the wintertime. No. They say things they shouldn't say when they get up and see that it snowed, you know, overnight. No. Listen, they're not in a ski resort. They're in a rec resort between now and the time I get to work. And he walked out there and he saw all that. And his battery did dead or not doorknob. So he walked around there, stood in the front of that car, and he put the words of Jesus in his mouth. Not his words, the words of Jesus. Now this is based on Hebrews chapter 3, the first three verses. We are partakers of his ministry, his calling. And he is the high priest of our confession. Confession of what? Your words? He didn't promise you he's high priest of your words. He promised you he's high priest of his words in your mouth.
That's right.
That licensed you as his joint heir.
Come on.
You have the same authority to speak his words he did, and the same authority to speak your heavenly Father's words as Jesus does. Because you've been given his name.
Amen.
And he said he walked up there And he spoke to that car. I'm not going to try to repeat what he said because I don't want to get it wrong. But he had prayed. He knew exactly what to say to it. He spoke to the battery. Well, he didn't just jerk the door open, run around there, and hit the key. If it took Jesus 24 hours for that fig tree to show up, you're not gonna charge any 12-volt battery in 10 seconds when it's 20 below zero outside. Now, if God steps in and does you a miracle, that's well and fine, but he'll tell you at that moment.
Yes.
I learned that the hard way. After failure, after failure. Ain't no use you flopping where we've flopped. You can start out knowing better. He spoke to it, and then he said he went on back in the house, went in the kitchen, put on a pot of water to boil. And that particular morning, he made him up a nice hot cup of tea and sat down over at the table and got his Bible out, you know, and reading and drank his tea. And he got a strong witness in his spirit. Amen. Always be led. Don't try to lead. Be led.
Well, what if he tells me to don't go?
And let me ask you this. Is that what you hear most of the time?
Uh-huh.
That's you, not God. I used to get that revelation before I ever got saved when they said, come on, it's time to go to work. I'm led not to go. And he said he walked out there, and you can imagine every devil in hell is telling him, you're going to look like a fool. Who you think you are walking out here 20 below zero, and all them cars up and down the streets all froze up, and you think yours is not. Now, if you walk along there and listen to that bull, it'll begin to affect your faith. No, don't ever let it start in the first place. You keep the Word of God in your mouth, and you keep saying it out loud. Your brain has to stop and see what your mouth has to say. That's the reason God created you like that. Now, bless the Lord God. I mean, oh, hallelujah. Get up early in the morning at Bethany, walk down, talk to the fig tree, talk to the battery, praise God, and then go have a cup of tea and come back from Bethany after a while, praise the Lord, and get in there and start the car and go on to work. Amen.
Well, I tried that, Brother Copeland, it didn't work. The Scripture never said to try it. Jesus didn't say, now try real hard to walk in love.
Come on.
No, he commanded you to walk in love. Had nothing to do with trying.
Yeah, that's right.
He never told you to try to walk by faith. He said, do it.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to do it if it blows a hole in Georgia. Creflo will get it healed. Amen. Walked out there and got in the car. Went on to work. Now what's happened? It has brought thanksgiving to God. That's big. Thanksgiving to God is big. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this today? All right. I'll close it with this. Being obedient to the Word. Jesus said, Peter calling to remembrance, he answered him. He answering said unto them, but what he said didn't have nothing to do with what Peter said, but he's answering them. Now listen, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. Today, it would read like this, operating the faith of God. Well, how do I be obedient to that, Brother Copeland? Well, you just stop right there. And I read it, out loud, have faith in God. Yes, sir. Lord Jesus, I obey. I have faith in God. I don't feel like I've got faith. Nobody asked you how you feel. I have faith in God. I don't look much like I have faith. Nobody asked you how you look. Have faith in God. I receive it. Now, as you grow along and grow in advance, you begin right there to say, the Scripture says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So, faith cometh now by this Scripture.
Amen.
In me.
Amen.
I have faith in God.
Amen.
Somebody walking around and said, what'd you say? I said I have faith in God. The devil come and say, yeah, but it ain't going to work no better this time than it did last time. I wasn't talking to you, Satan. I have faith in God.
Yes.
You understand that? Jesus told me that I have faith in God.
Yes.
Now, you have to act just like I asked it then. You can't timmy-toe around with him and have any results with it.
That's right.
Smith Wigglesworth got on what we call a bus, on a tram one time, and he got on there, and there was a little puppy, this little old bitty dog of some kind, that this woman, bringing this little puppy along, she said, you go on back to the house now. And she turned around and started to get in that tram. The little puppy run up there and got up next to her. She said, now go on, sweetheart, go on back to the house, go on. Turned around, he run right back up there again. She put one foot up on the step of that bus and said, get! And that dog tucked his tail the way he ran. And Wigglesworth hollered out. He was in the bus. He hollered out and said, that's the way you have to do the devil. He'll cuddle you. He'll pet you, con you. Until you take the name of Jesus and your authority in the Word of the living God, and you've got the Word of God Almighty in your hand. Listen, this is not just some document here. This doesn't contain the Word of God. It is God's bond. It is the written copy of two blood covenants. God swore these things in blood. Jesus appeared before him, raised from the dead, had been made sin, and is now the righteousness of God. That ain't never happened to nobody. Nobody had ever gone to hell and fought his way out. There's some beanbag out here thinks he's going to. Yeah, right. You ain't never been to jail, brother. You get in that one. And you ain't going to fight your way out of it. You can walk off from it now. If you got any sense, that's what you'll do. And there he stood. Spotless, Scripture said. In his presence. Oh, hallelujah. And God swore oath to him. What was that sworn oath? In the blood that poured from his veins. His blood, all of it, is this very moment in the heavenly holy of holies on the mercy seat of God's covenants. What did he say to him? Every word of it. That's what he said. And you've been blessed to have a ordained copy of it in your possession. So don't leave it on the kitchen table. Spend time in it. This is blood talk. This is covenant to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. By the eternal God is my blood brother. I have rights here.
Amen.
I'm a joint heir in inheritance with him. And the blessing of Abraham is mine. Man, when I found that out, I didn't have money enough to get out of sight. I'm telling you, zero, absolutely broke. But when I realized that, listen, my background is, please, I despise political correctness. I despise it worse than I can tell you and not sin.
Amen. Amen.
I am not a Native American.
Come on,
I'm an American Indian.
Amen.
And I happen to be Cherokee. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. I'm an American.
Amen.
Yeah. When I go to England, I'm English. Well, and there's a bit of Irish in me. But I told my Irish brothers when I was there. My father was from Northern Ireland. My mother's a red savage. And my mama was there when he got here in the boat. You understand?
Amen.
Come on, get real, man. What are you? What am I first? Am I Indian first? No. Am I Irish first? No. Am I man first? No. Am I an American first? No. I'm a blood brother to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I was born of the Word of the living God. I'm a citizen of God's glory. And because of that, in this earth, I have a job to do. And I live for it, and I'll die for it.
Come on.
Y'all got me all excited. Stand up and give the Lord praise. Thanksgiving. Shout amen at me. Oh, that is awfully weak. I spent the last hour and a half up here, and that's all I get. Woo! Hallelujah! Giving glory to God. I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth. Mountain, be thou removed. Be cast into the sea. I have it now. It's mine. Give God the glory for it in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Liz.